Please take your Bibles with me and turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. And as you're turning, just want to give to you Priscilla's a real encouragement. There was a visitor here this morning who heard us singing, "Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary." And he said, "As I listened to the singing of that hymn, it just cut to my heart," and his eyes welled up. And he said, "I really appreciate the way that you sing here." And he was referring in particular to some of you ladies who have this soprano voice that God uses to pierce hearts. So let us abound all the more in this spurring one another on, in this singing to one another psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The apostle writes, "So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know that we are handling very sacred things like those Levites did in the Old Covenant. And we even think of Uzzah's good intentions, but his irreverence when the ark tipped. And so we have good intentions coming here, but we pray that you would give us real reverence. Help us to tremble before your word as we contemplate its importance in our lives. Give us the Holy Spirit, who is the author of that word, so that we might understand. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just prior to New Year's Eve, last month, I read an article by a pastor friend of mine named Jim Sevastio, and the article was entitled, "Determination to Grow in the New Year." And he writes, "When I was a boy, I was introduced to the world of Marvel Comics by two of my older brothers. These comics not only contain stories about superheroes, but also in those comic books were page after page of advertising." And he referred to one advertisement that struck him. It was the advertisement of Charles Atlas. Now this takes us back. The strong man, and there was a little comic section of a 90-pound weakling on the beach, and the bullies kicked sand into his eyes and stole his girlfriend. And of course, it said, if you just write in to Charles Atlas and put your dollar in the envelope, you'll get a manual to make you to be strong and sturdy and muscular, and you'll get back not only your respect, but you may even get your girl back. So he says that he himself invested in the stamp and sent off and got the manual back and began to work it out. But he realized that the challenge wasn't so much having the necessary manual before him, but the importance of actually putting it into practice by sweat and by earnest training. And so the manual provides for growth, but it depends if we will avail ourselves of that manual. Jim went on to say then, God has provided for us spiritually means for growth. Now, those means are freely available for every believer, certain every believer in the Western world. The problem is that most professing believers' face is not so much ignorance, but really a desire and a felt need. Do I want these things? Do I need these things? I want the result, being strong as a Christian, but do I want the results bad enough to do what I need to do to have the results? And so I went on to say, allow me to give 7 words of exhortation for the coming year. And the first one that he gave was this: commit yourself to daily intake of God's word. And then the next sentence is the one that caught me. It said, read or listen to the Bible daily. It's that word, listen to the Bible daily, that conceived this sermon in my mind. And so my desire is here to bring you a sermon on this theme of listening to the Bible under six headings. And the first heading is simply this, the thesis. What are you talking about, Pastor Chansky? Well, here's the thesis. With this sermon, I desire to persuade you to commit yourself to enlist your ear gate as an important gateway for the intake of scriptural truth. Let's read it again. I want to persuade you to commit yourself to enlist your ear gates as an important gateway for the intake of spiritual truth. I want to whet your appetite for the delicious, satisfying, and spiritual health-giving experience of hearing God's word, listen to me, during time. That's a very precious commodity in American society. During time that's already wide open and available to you for this blessed purpose. You say, what time do I have? Well, you have time when you drive your car. And you have time when you wash your dishes. You may have time when you run on the treadmill or on the bike path, when you clean your house, when you mow your lawn. And I will suggest to you this has much to do with such things as a CD player in your car, a cell phone, BlackBerry, telephone, iPhone on your hip, MP3 player in your desk drawer, or an iPod in your backpack. You see what I'm driving at here? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That's my thesis. Second of six main headings is, having seen the thesis, now the objection. The objection. You may sit there with a concern in your mind. I know, because I had it. And that's why I called Jim Sevastio shortly after he penned his article to pick his brain. I called him and I said, hey, Jim, I know what you're saying about listening to the Bible and its benefits. I've done it myself for many stretches over the years, but you know, I suppose that I have a hesitation to overly much promote this in the church. And that hesitation is that some folks might begin to think that listening to the Bible with earbuds on the treadmill is an adequate substitute for reading the Bible with open eyes in a quiet place. And even while I was speaking to Jim, I heard my own voice rising up regarding Mark. Listen to yourself. You have the notion in your mind that is the silliness of slippery slope paralysis. You know what I mean by that? If we take one step in another direction to do something different, there's a danger there. And I could even hear myself saying, well then, Mark, I suppose you shouldn't put our sermons on sermon audio for fear that some might stay at home in their pajamas listening to audio preaching on the net instead of getting dressed and going to God's house for live preaching. It's a dangerous thing to change and move out of the ordinary. And Jim went on as we talked to express that the last year was a personal windfall for him in audio listening. Jim had purchased an MP3 player and he began listening. His favorite was Max McLean. Ever listen to Max McLean? I think it's the ESV that Jim Sevastio listens to. And he told me that he had listened through the New Testament six times last year. And he says, it just brought absolute delight and strength to my soul. He said, Mark, I'd listen as I'd be driving from appointment to appointment. He said, if I'd go out and take my dog for a long walk, I'd listen to the book of Nehemiah. And I'd be back at home and I would be full of the Word of God. And he said, this didn't hinder my appetite for reading the Word of God. To the contrary, it extended and magnified my appetite. In fact, by the way, there's another way of doing this, and it's opening up your Bible in the quiet place, but then also hitting on your computer and listening to maybe like a Alexander Scorby, who also reads.
And he reads with accentuation while you're reading, because does your mind ever? No, your mind doesn't drift ever while doing devotions, does it? But to hear somebody reading with expression, you're using two gates at one time, the eye gate and the ear gate, doubling comprehension. So I've addressed the thesis. I've addressed the objection. Well, people won't read anymore.
I don't know that that's really legitimate. When I put down the phone with Jim, I put a muzzle in my concern there. Come with me now, thirdly, to the Scriptures. The Scriptures.
Well, I may have a thesis, and I may think it's a good idea, or there may be objections, but any thesis or any objection must submit themselves to the wisdom of God's Word. So let's go to the Scriptures. And I want to have four considerations here as we look at the Scriptures. And the first is an interesting question. Let me consider this from the Scriptures. An interesting question, and it's about the eye gate and the ear gate. It is true that the Bible puts a heavy emphasis on the importance and the virtue of reading the Word of God, doesn't it? There one passage, Deuteronomy 17, 18. I'll give many passages. I recommend that you use your ear gates more so tonight. You can keep up with me fine by paging through the sword drill, but listen carefully to my reading. In Deuteronomy 17, 18, it says, "Now it shall be regarding the king, when he sits on his throne of his kingdom, he shall write down for himself a copy of the law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him that he shall read it, the scroll, all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of his law and these statutes." The king was to read the Scriptures every day. We, 1 Peter 2, are royal priesthood. We're kingly, and so we should read. Good argument. We should indeed read the Word of God every day. That's Old Testament. Look also New Testament, Acts 8:28. There's a eunuch who is on his way back to the Queen of Candace in Ethiopia. And Philip rides up alongside his chariot. And it says he, the eunuch, was returning and sitting in his chariot. And listen, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. That's a good man. He had a heart for God. Reading of the suffering servant on Isaiah chapter 53. So Old Testament commends reading of the Scriptures. New Testament commends reading of the Scriptures. But do you realize there's something unique about these two incidents? And what is it? These two individuals, the king and the eunuch, were both what? Royal personnel. Who in the ancient world had certain unique privileges? And what were those privileges? Education and the ability to read, and also documentation, something to read. But do you realize that an overwhelming majority of the earth's population in Old Testament times and in New Testament times neither had the ability to read nor any documents to read themselves? It was a luxury that few had to read the Word of God. So I said we're looking at the Scriptures, and I'm addressing here an interesting question. The fundamental question is this: does the Bible give a higher priority to the eye gate over the ear gate as a superior, better, or more spiritual way for scriptural intake? So we've addressed, looking at these passages, an interesting question. Come with me now, secondly, as we're looking at the Scriptures, to an Old Testament survey. An Old Testament survey. Let me bring a few passages from the Old with very few comments. Exodus 24, verse 7. "Then he," Moses, this is out in the wilderness now, "took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, we will be obedient.'" What was the mode of intake in the wilderness? It was hearing of the Word of God.
Further, Deuteronomy 32, verse 44. Then Moses came and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he with Joshua, the son of Nun. So from the Red Sea to the banks of the Jordan River, it was the hearing of the word of God on the part of the old covenant people. They enter into the land. 1 Kings 22, 19, Micaiah the prophet said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven stand by him, on his right and on his left. And the statement was from Micaiah, so hear ye, people of God, the word of the Lord. Ear gate. The prophets, they access the ear gate. They poured revelation into the hearts of God's people through the ear gate. 2 Kings 20 and verse 16. I'm being so selective and skipping over the top. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, this is how kings were informed. Revelation, hear the word of the Lord. Or 2 Chronicles 34, 30. There was a revival in Israel. The book of the law was found in the temple. And so Josiah got it. And what did he do with it? The king went up to the house of the Lord. And all the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the Levites, and all the people from the greatest to the least. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And then there's exile and the people are brought back into the land. And Nehemiah 8:3 refers to the ministry of Ezra there in the rebuilding season of Israel. And he, Ezra, they all gathered together on a certain day in Jerusalem, and he read from it, that is the book of the law, before the square which is in front of the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women and those who could understand, and all the people were attentive in hearing the words of the book of the law. Further, Proverbs 8 and verse 34, wisdom talking, it says, blessed is he who listens to me. It's referring to the ear gate, watching at my gates, waiting at my doorposts, hearing the word of God. It was a very oral society. Things were often memorized as opposed to read. Isaiah 1:10. Isaiah speaking, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What was the currency of revelation? It was word spoken from the mouth, through the air, caught by the ear. Also, Jeremiah 7, verse 2. Stand in the gate of the Lord God's house and proclaim there his word and hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who entered these gates to worship the Lord. Didn't hand out pamphlets, didn't hand out tracts to read. It was the ear gate that was accessed. Jeremiah 9, verse 20. Now hear the word of the Lord, O you women, let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters the word of the Lord. Is the ear an inferior gate to the eye gate? I think not. In Jeremiah 28 and verse 7, yet hear now this word which I am about to speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. Just in this Old Testament survey, I think we can say that it clearly displays that the ear gate is an important entryway for the pouring in of revelational truth into image-bearing souls. The ear gate is not something that we should be ashamed of because we access it for revelation. The eye gate isn't necessarily more spiritual a gate for the truth of God's word. So we're looking at the scriptures, and we've seen an Old Testament survey, just a New Testament survey. Well, certainly in the New Testament, maybe things have changed because it is a more mature setting for revelation. Well, Mark 4:20, Jesus' ministry, parable of the sower, he says, and those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Hearing the word. By the way, the ministry of the Lord Jesus, How was it conducted? Mouth to ear to ears. The master himself used the ear gate chiefly to bring the message of the gospel. Also, Luke 8:21. But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers, who are they?" They are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Or Luke 9:44. Listen, Jesus says this to them, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." You hear that? "Let this sink into your ears," Jesus said. We get to the book of Acts and the ministry of the apostle. It says, "He who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, this man summoned Barnabas and Saul, who, as he sought to hear the word of God." You got something I need, you two men. Talk. I want to hear through this gate and this gate what you have to say. Also Acts 15:21. "For Moses from ancient generations has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogue every Sabbath." Remember those synagogue sessions? They didn't have scriptures on the brown benches. They had one scripture at the lectern, and that was read. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus enters into the synagogue and he reads into the ears of the attenders. Or Romans 10:17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Or even think of the letters, the epistles. How did the epistles become known among the New Testament churches? They didn't copy over pamphlets. Gutenberg's printing press hadn't yet been invented. And so how was the content communicated? Colossians 4:16. "And when this letter is read among you," public reading, "have it also read in the churches of the Laodiceans, and for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea." Reading, ear intake of the scriptures themselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:27. "I adjure you by the Lord, have this letter read to all the brethren." And you know that passage. In fact, that's why Pastor Vinette read this evening, 1 Timothy 4:13, "Give attention to the public reading of the Scriptures." And so we've come now to the end of the era of the Revelation, near the end of the first century in the New Testament. And Michael Bentley rightly says, many people couldn't read in those days. Therefore, it was very necessary to have portions of the Scripture, what we know to be the Old Testament law, read aloud. People would then hear the word of God for themselves. The public reading of the word is still the most important part of Christian worship. It's not the preaching of the word of God, because that's all mixed with the preacher's ideas. The reading of the word of God and the hearing of it is pure revelational intake. And then the last book of the Bible, Revelation 1:3, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near." So what can we conclude by a New Testament survey regarding the ear gate? I think we can say clearly the New Testament displays that the ear gate is a very important entryway for the pouring in of revelational truth for image-bearing souls. So we're looking at the whole theme of the Scriptures, and let me just bring, having seen an interesting question, an Old Testament survey and a New Testament survey, just a distraction concern. Distraction concern. I'm a Pastor Chansky. I'm really concerned about this, Mark. Because if you're talking about somebody taking Bible intake while he's driving, what if he's driving down 28th Street in Grand Rapids with all the lane chains? In all the traffic. There may be blank spots when he really doesn't pay attention fully. I mean, you just talked about handling sacred things reverently. Is it really appropriate to listen to the word of God in such a way? Well, consider this passage, Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Now listen. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when? When they're all sitting in the front row of the church, or when they're all just on the edges of the sofa in perfect attention. No, look, speak these words to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. Some of the kids have to see if there's a stone. There may be traffic on the way as they're walking. And when you lie down, but they may be a little bit drowsy. And when they rise up, you see, hear and speak the word through the practical daily paces of life. Also, you think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers, but what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He meditates that when he's farming in the field, when he's a carpenter building a bench, when he's a fisherman throwing a net, when he's a warehouse worker stacking tires, when he's an engineer working on software, on it he meditates day and night. And just one last passage. We have this distraction concern, don't we? But even consider the way the Lord Jesus ministered. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. It says there, and they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. By the way, that road was always full of traffic when it came toward festival time. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed him were fearful. And Jesus, he's communicating. This whole next section, look at your red, if you have a red print Bible, all kinds of red print. On the way to Jerusalem, he's talking to them. Look at verse 35. And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to him, saying to him, and he sort of took them aside. They're walking now away from the crowd, but they're on their way to Jerusalem. Because when they get to verse 46, it says, when they came to Jericho, they're moving. And he's communicating to them while they are moving along the way. That's just how Jesus ministered. Like sometimes I tell men, I can have a better conversation with you while we're playing a game of golf and we're walking down the way instead of just sitting right in front of you at a booth over at Russ's Rest. That's just the way men are. When they're doing something, they communicate sometimes better than when they're just staring at each other. You ladies are different. We're wired differently. And we can do things. We can, at least in that sense, multitask. Though we as men, that's probably the only way that we're able to multitask. And Jim Sebastio, as we talked, he said, yeah, Mark, there are times when I'm moving through thick traffic and I realize I've been distracted for about a dozen verses. Sure, there are blank spots in my listening. But do you realize, beloved, when you think of ear gate versus eye gate, that sure, there is an affliction to busy driving listeners, but there is also an affliction for quiet room readers. Do you ever have any blank spots when you read? Like you've gone the last dozen verses, what did I just read? So what, should we stop reading? No, I think not. You realize, beloved, when you think of things like this, think of this statement. It's a profound proverb. Perfection is the enemy of the good. Think about that. If you're a perfectionist in everything that you do, and I'm not going to do it unless it's perfect. Perfection is the enemy of the good. Remember Nehemiah? Nehemiah constructed the walls of Jerusalem. They were broken down. In how many days? If he would have done a perfect job, it probably would have been 52 months or maybe years. In fact, Catherine Kenyon did excavating of Jerusalem. She discovered that the walls of Jerusalem were indeed rebuilt, but they were rebuilt in a rustic way in 52 days. They weren't artistic and sharp, but they were solid and they were strong. You see, Nehemiah didn't wait for perfection. He did the good. And though there were blank spots in the artistry of the wall, it was still very beneficial for the kingdom. And so that's the whole issue of the Scriptures. What saith the Scriptures about hearing? Come with me now, fourthly, having seen the thesis, the objection, the Scriptures, now to the illiteracy. The illiteracy. I think we can all see the strategic relevance of audio listening. Maybe even especially we say, yeah, that's a great thing for foreign cultures anyway. Because due to a lack of education in some third world countries, folks can't and don't read with proficiency because lack of education. For that fact, in some, their mother tongue has lack of translation. The Scriptures aren't even available in their mother tongue. In fact, there are even organizations. There's one I was reading about this week. It's called Faith Cometh by Hearing. It talks about how on this globe there are 6,800 languages worldwide. That's a lot of work. 6,800 languages. And Wycliffe desires to record in the Scripture, along with this group, every single one of them, at least New Testament, Matthew to Revelation. This organization tries to get an electronic player. It's called the Proclaimer. It's about this size in a rectangle. It's like a radio. A Proclaimer. It's solar powered, so that they don't have to plug it in, because many places there's no plug, no batteries that are valuable and expensive. It's solar powered, so it can be accessible in towns and villages. And what they do is they try to start listening groups. They'll come into a village, they'll turn on the button, as if a few people present there. It's 100, 150, 200 people. And I'm told that the whole village there goes silent. They're frozen. And for about 45 minutes, they're spellbound, because they're hearing the Word of God in their own tongue. In their own tongue, out of this box. First time they've heard anything out of a box from their own tongue. We don't need a translator. God is talking directly to us. Jesus has taken the time to speak to us in our own tongue. And there's great listening as they sit. And then they seek to have follow-up sessions. After the first, they hear, it's the Word of God in our own tongue. Then others come. You get the witch doctors coming. And other pagans coming. Well, why are they coming? Nobody wants to miss a story that's told in our own tongue. And they tell the story. They get to Mark chapter 4 and to Mark chapter 5. And there's this demonized man. And he's cutting himself. And he's shouting out, oh, I know who you are. You are the Son of God. And you come before the appointed time to torment us. And Jesus casts the legion of demons out of the man into the herd of pigs. And the herd of pigs goes over the cliff and into the water. And as they discuss this afterwards, they have questions there, because they're always talking. Why did he throw the evil spirit into the pigs? The pigs were destroyed. Did Jesus compensate them for the loss of pigs? They're very concerned about this. And they were discussing among themselves, well, what is this all about? Don't you realize that a herd of pigs is part of the stock portfolio of an entire village's wealth? And that was a bear market. They went into the sea. There's so much investment that was lost by them. Didn't Jesus pay them back? Why would he do such a thing? The discussion goes on. And the teacher would communicate, well, you realize that that was a demonized man, a madman. I mean, how valuable is a madman? A madman is worth nothing to us. The teacher says, what is a madman worth to the Lord Jesus Christ? More than the wealth of the entire village. Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And they begin to rumble among each other. Jesus loves people who are broken people. Jesus can save. And you see how the Word of God coming in their own tongue affects them in a profound way. Women gather together in these listening groups. 20 women in some, 50 women in another. In Peru and in Bolivia. You say, well, South America, they speak Portuguese. Or they speak Spanish. I mean, It's easy to get those languages. No, there are all kinds of different languages in backwoods pockets there. There's the Quechua language where there are millions of people. Like one man speaks of how he was brought in a wheelbarrow. He was all diseased. And someone brought him in a wheelbarrow to one of these listening sessions. And he listened. And he kept listening. And he was saved. And Lord Jesus restored him. Here he stood with tears down his eyes. It was in the video. And he's just weeping, saying, God speaks to me. He cares enough for me to speak in my own mother tongue. The Creator has not forgotten us. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the ear gate in these third world, illiterate cultures are used as the pipeline for the pouring in of revelation into lost hearts. And so, as we consider this whole theme of the illiteracy, yeah, we get that for third world countries. Okay, that's good for them. But what about us? Just think about us in the U.S. and in Canada. You realize in these countries, in many ways, people can read. But by and large, most don't. In America, they say, the third world country people say, you have watches, but you have no time. Referring to the helter-skelter, fast-paced lifestyle and work style. No time to read. 58% of high school graduates never read another book after they graduate from high school. 58%. 70% never read a book, a whole book, in a given year. 42% of college students don't read a book after their graduation. A whole book. 43% of Americans operate on a very basic literacy level. And most read with very poor comprehension. Ask book writers and book publishers about how tough things are getting these days. The point I'm making here is in the U.S., we are a semi-literate culture at best. I know people can read a little email and a little blog here, but as far as reading something that is a big book, it really just doesn't happen. I realize also 70% of church-going people don't consistently read their Bibles. Why not? Well, I certainly think it is a spiritual issue. We could draw conclusions that the people who don't read their Bibles consistently are carnal and have no love for God. That being said, we can also ponder the implications of Psalm 103, verse 15, as a father has compassion on his children. So the Lord loves those who are his people. He knows how they are formed. He knows that they're but dust. And you just ponder this whole issue of why don't people read. It could have something to do as well with the fact that many people simply don't like to read. And it's a very difficult, that's like pushing a boulder uphill. For some of you say, what's the issue? Well, for some it is a real issue. And there are some saints, when you ask them, do you think you're a Christian? You know what the first response is? Well, I really haven't been reading my Bible as much as I wish, and it really just makes me very concerned about how can I be a child of God? Because in Psalm 119 it says, oh, I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I just don't like reading the scriptures, one might say. And that is an issue, and I understand all that, and that needs to be worked on. But I suggest to you that Bible intake is the chief and fundamental issue. It is. And the eye gate is a very important gate. But the ear gate is also an important access point for the intake of revelation from God, not only in third world cultures, but also in our own culture. And that leads us, having seen the thesis, the objection, the scriptures, the illiteracy, now fifthly, the opportunity. The opportunity.
there's a campaign that goes on, and it's one in Albuquerque right now. And they see an opportunity in all of this. And up on the billboards in Albuquerque, you'll see this. You've got time, Albuquerque. That's what it says. You've got time, Albuquerque. It's referring to you've got time to listen to the Word of God. Because you realize the average American spends how much time in their car every day? What do you think it is? 45 minutes. The average American. You think the idea of what could happen if the average American for 45 minutes subjected themselves to Bible intake in their churches, which say, we've really been quite transformed as a church because everybody has some kind of method of taking in the Word of God. Housework. While Joe's on the treadmill, while Bill's on the lawnmower. There was a young lady here who works inside Chicago near the Merck inner city there, and she has to take a train every day from the burbs into Chicago, and she sits on that train for maybe 45 minutes one way. That's 90 minutes a day. And imagine sitting there with a pair of earbuds and listening to the Word of God. Instead of having an MP3, do you realize you can listen to the whole Bible in 77 hours? You think of the implications of that. Let me just give testimonies about people who've taken in the Word of God. One pastor says this, my young people have always had a tough time reading the Bible. They just don't like to read, but they do love to listen. Is that really a surprise to us? I think of earbuds and listening to things. And so many of them have learned to love taking in the Word of God. They find they get more out of it through listening. And instead of music all the time, they're listening to Scriptures. One troubled young woman has said this, I had deep sin in my life. There were painful stirrings in my soul. I was depressed and I was suicidal. And I cried out to God and said, oh God, I need something to get these thoughts out of my head. And someone gave her one of these MP3 players and she began to play it. And she said, I began to listen. And all those thoughts, all those whisperings from the enemy were rinsed out of my mind. And God gave me a sense of peace and a sense of tranquility. It's changed my life. A woman from Missouri writes this, my daughter gave me a set, that is, of Scriptures for Christmas on the audio. My first thought was, why, I read my Bible every day. I don't need anybody to read it to me. Well, did I ever get my eyes open? This is one of the most wonderful things I've ever experienced. She's referring to this Max McLean. I really like him. He just reads with expression. I mean, he sometimes puts a little bit of a nuance on a word. Like Jim Sebastio says, when I listen to Max, he sometimes pops open a passage for me by the way that he expresses it because he studied it and he accentuates it the way that he reads. She says, Max McLean makes the words of Jesus sound like he's just talking to me. He says, my tears have flowed many times in listening to these powerful recordings. Priscilla writes, a friend of mine ordered a listening Bible and raved about it. Yesterday she loaned me the first CD to try it out. I listened to it for 45 minutes in my commute. I was spellbound. How very different it was for me to hear the Bible rather than to read it. My commute was wonderful. I didn't even notice the traffic. Now, if that was the only dividend, it wouldn't be so bad for some. Mike from California says, I have a quite long commute to work. Daily I had wasted 2 hours on the road, but now those hours are spent hearing God's Word. One man from Virginia said, I listened to the New Testament over 50 times last year. Not such a bad thing at all, is it? The idea of our desire to think God's thoughts after Him? So that's the opportunity. Now, sixthly and finally, the technology. What should you do? Well, it depends who you are. Maybe getting a CD player for your car or for your living room sound system is a good thing. And for you, that would be no problem at all. But really, That's not where your strategic time is necessarily for you. It doesn't nearly cover for you those areas that are available to you with time. You realize that most of us have technology right on our hips. I don't know, some of you do right now. I hope it's turned off. I'm talking about these gadgets, these things that we ought to subdue and rule for the cause of Christ and His kingdom. iPods and cell phones and Blackberries and iPhones, Androids and MP3 players and shuffles. Now for some of you who are tech savvy, it's just so simple. I'm going to go home, I'm going to download. You can download all from Genesis to Revelation in just a few minutes. In fact, my son did it. I said, we talked about it a week and a half ago to Calvin. I said, Calvin, look at this. He had his iPhone. He said, just a minute. I got it. He's got all the books of the Bible. And he popped one. I said, give me Mark 3. He hit Mark 3 and there we are. We're talking about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's found joy, great joy. He says, you know that idea of driving to work? And for some of you, it's simply that easy. But for others of you, downloading and having access, it's like asking Claire Getz to fill out my IRS forms. For you, right? This is not going to happen. I can't do that. You're asking me like Pharaoh to make bricks without straw. Let me looking at Pete here. In fact, Pete and I talked about this whole idea. He's going off to war. He's going off to boot camp. I told you there was something in the sermon about what we discussed last week because I said, Pete, do this for me, please. You got an iPod? Yeah. Then download to your iPod audio of the Bible from Genesis. He says, I'll do it. Because I just think of him at night going to bed and guys playing cards or doing something a lot worse than playing cards in the barrack, and for Pete to be able to rinse his mind with the truths of God's Word at what's probably going to be the most dangerous season of this young man's life. But if you can't download and you can't access it to your BlackBerry or iPod or MP3 player, you don't even have an MP3 player, listen, we have a 21st century Bezalel, skilled not in goldsmithery like the old covenant Bezalel was, but in IT technology, sitting right there. His name is Jaime Mejia. And I've talked to him, and I said, do you have a burden for something like this? He said, yes, I do. And Jaime says that he is willing, you come to him. In fact, I'm even send him to each one of you. Do you have an audio Bible available? And he has said, I'll find a way. If you want something that's more expensive, then you can get that. And maybe paying $39 for the entirety or maybe something freeware. But he says he will work with you and enable you to have something accessible on your hip. Just with a few simple adjustments and a few setups. And beloved, I believe such thing could be a blessed windfall to our congregation. Because as we've talked here, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I would just ask you, ponder the personal and spiritual implications for your own life. And could it be that God would use this to make us not Charles Atlases, but to make us be spiritual Samsons who are able to do much good for the cause of the kingdom of God? Maybe while we're engaging in some MP3 treadmill training. So take these things, ponder these things, and may God use it for His glory.